I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast. Bills news with a UK twist. It's Mark and myself, Matt, on this show. And, what the hell has gone on?
Yeah, I think
we shouldn't be too confident.
I think we said last week, didn't we, that we, you know, predicting games, you get to a point where you're like, no matchup looks good. But I think even in, regardless of what had gone on in the weeks beforehand, I can't believe there was many Bills Mafia that predicted we would managed to find a way to lose this game on Monday Night Football. It was a game where two teams were seemingly desperate to not win. Neither team wanted to win. And we just managed to find a way to lose it last. And I've been through the, you know, the barren years of being a Bills fan. I've only been a Bills fan since the early 90s. It's a bit like, you know, you learn to deal with disappointment a lot because we went throughout a lot of years of it. But this feels a bit different because this team was meant to be good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can accept that the Bills being shit if you know that the Bills are going to be shit. But this is a team that was meant to be challenging for a Super Bowl. I mean, this is as bad as it's been since kind of 2019, and it's a bit deflating.
Yeah, I think it's the expectations. I mean, we looked at it as it could be a quite comfortable week, a week or game even. I mean, stats tell you otherwise. Obviously, we out-yarded them, outpassed them, outrushed them. They outpassed us by 1 yard, by one solid yard. But it was down to like just stupid plays and stupid decisions that really do it. And that seems to be the symbol, at least for the last few years, which kind of makes you feel like, yeah, we've got a really good team, but we've still got the odd error creeping in, like for the Broncos game, 12 men on defense for the fucking special teams kick.
Yeah. Is that execution has been really, really poor in the run-up to this game. And this game became the nadir of a good team playing badly and just executing really, really poorly. And just so many, like the very first fumble on the very first play, drops on very catchable balls to keep drives going, poor play from Josh Allen in terms of some of the decisions that he was making and plays that he wants to have back. And that's becoming a bit of a concerning recurring theme that we're seeing out of him at the moment. I don't think that he's been given the best opportunities based on the scheme that has been given to him and what will be happening there. More on that later.
Yeah.
but I don't think that he's been put in good positions to play, but regardless of what the scheme is, just the execution has been terrible. Even on the drives where we look good, and there were two drives where we look very good. One of those, James Cook still fumbles the ball and it bounces straight back up into him and he carries on running with it.
I was hoping to go for the touchdown. It was like playing basketball, that one.
It was like we were playing Gaelic football. It was just like bounced it to himself and carried on running. But I mean, that was very, very lucky.
Yeah.
That was another inexcusable and inexplicable mistake that is just becoming, you know, all too familiar with this offense. And yeah. I feel I feel really sorry for the defensive players, because the amount of injuries that the defense has had and the way that they have stuck around and kept us in games, and they did again in this game with more injuries that happened. You know, you're down to threadbare in the corner, cornerback position, and linebacker is pretty threadbare as well. And yet they're keeping teams out for the most part really, really well. And yet the offense, which is meant to be this team's strength, is just not playing ball. And it's the same old excuses all the time. You know, we can't get our offense into a rhythm. We're not playing complementary football. We're not we're not doing this, that, and the other. But you get to a point where you think, well, this isn't just a blip. This isn't just a run of games. Like I said last week, we're in effect two plays away from. If think about the Tampa Bay game where Chris Godwin doesn't look up on the pass at the end of the game, and the game where there should have been the penalty right at the death, when we were playing against whoever the hell it was, the Giants, where we won that game late on. This is very, very, very close to being a 3-7 team.
Yeah.
And you get to a point where you're like, this is just who we are. This is actually how good this team is. We're kind of an AFC also ran. And we were meant to be, you know, start the season. And I think that a lot of people had us as favourites for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think there comes a point in time where you have to look at it and say, we'll go into more detail on the fallout of the Broncos game on there. There's got to be some sort of reason why the execution is shit at the moment, why we seem to be making more mistakes on offense than we are on defense. And even though the stats show the offense being one of the best in the league and the defense being one of the shittest in the league, but yet this shitty defense with these injuries are keeping us in games.
Yeah.
And it's just weird, shitty to figure that out. And
I think a lot of it comes down to, for me personally anyway, the fact that if you look at some of the analysis of the game plan that we're going with at the moment, we're really easy to play against. We're not difficult to defend against our offense at the moment. And actually, when you break it down, I think Dan Orlovsky did a really good job of this in the aftermath of the Broncos game.
Yeah,
that you look at the way that we set up sometimes, and there's a couple of packages that when we line up in that package, and he's identified it. We effectively, you know, there's a certain situation where if we line up in a certain way, there's two plays that we run and that's it. And there's another one where there's another package if we set up and there's another two plays that we run. So effectively there's two ways that when, if a defense comes out and sees how we're lined up, there's only two plays that they need to practice to defend against, because that's all we run.
Yeah,
we're one of the most simple teams to defend against, and what that results in is that you can bracket receivers so they're not getting open very much. It's not that hard, and it constantly means that Josh Allen is having to throw balls into windows that just aren't there because he's got no other option because of the scheme that we're playing.
Yeah, we haven't found the identity. We thought we had the identity, and I think a fair few of the ex players actually said that you have that identity of the up tempo game, and yet they want to go through with 12 personnel. They want to actually do the same play over and over again, the shotgun runs on second and long and all that sort of stuff. You're right, it is the predictability on it.
We're too easy. It means we can't get players open, and if Diggs isn't available, more often than not, Kincaid's his only other option. If he's not free, or it's a play where he's designed to be blocking, there is just nothing. And it's clearly been coached out of Josh to pick it up and run with it. For some reason, he doesn't seem to do that very often anymore, despite the fact that I think that in a lot of cases, that was almost one of the things that got him going in games like earlier on in his career, was those runs that lifts the crowd and lifts the offense and gets us those first downs, where this season we just haven't been getting them.
Yeah.
Because we pick the same play. It's obvious what we're doing. It's third and long, and we try and make a throw that isn't there, and it either gets intercepted or is incomplete. And lo and behold, I've never seen us punt as much as we're punting at the moment. I remember when last season or the season before, it was almost like a story when we had to punt because we did it so rarely.
Yeah.
And now it's like punting in this game on our third drive was a result because we hadn't given the ball away. And I don't think the players are playing well. And I understand that there's a lot of finger pointing towards Josh Allen and the way that he's playing. And I think if you look at if you really look at his performance, there's probably one interception that's on Josh.
You say
it's on Josh in that he threw the ball in a bad position. But you've got to ask yourself, why is he making that throw? And is it because we're running a play that, again, is really fucking obvious, it's easy to defend, and there just is no other option to do it? He's trying to make something happen. And you can understand why he's trying to make something happen, because it's just not for this offense at the moment. But it means that he's trying to force a ball into a window that's just not there. Whereas before, he'd probably pick it up and run with it for a while.
Yeah.
But we're just not at the moment. I think there's been a lot of analysis into his performance. There's actually, since the Jets game, only been three what you would classify as inexplicably bad decisions, throws that have been made by him this season. It's actually not a crazy amount. He looks, I firmly believe that he looks as bad as he is looking at the moment. I don't think it's a regression in mechanics. I don't think it's a regression in accuracy or anything like that. I think the problem that Josh Allen is experiencing at the moment is purely scheme and the plays that are being called, not putting him in a position to get the best out of the weapons that he has.
Yeah, I think it doesn't help when you have drops. I mean, that's one of the interceptions, obviously, Davis, who can catch, actually just decided to let it go straight through his hands and straight into the interception. Drops, obviously, Josh in that fumble when he actually tried to hand it off to James Cook.
Yeah.
I think it was a third quarter or fourth quarter. Cook was set, but Allen just didn't put the ball in placement. You just kind of think, is his lifestyle and the off-season he had, obviously with the new girlfriend, the Madden, the endorsements, the adverts, the golf and all that, if it's not him regressing with the mechanics and how he plays, not just the scheme, but his off-the-field stuff that's actually starting to play into it a little bit more? That's a question I asked on Twitter. Could that be the case? Because we know that he can make those throws. He can make the impossible possible, and he is an elite. Well, most people would probably not say he's not elite, but he is in that top tier of quarterbacks for this current crop, but yet a guy who's been picked off six straight games and only had two games out of 11 or 10 in our case, two games out of 10 without an interception. You're thinking, and I think I saw the stat that that he had more interceptions than Mac Jones. More interceptions than Mac Jones, and I can't remember who the other guy was on there. And you're thinking to yourself, this is a quarterback who nearly got us to a couple of Super Bowls, and yet he seems to be turning the ball over quite a lot, whether it be a fumble or an interception. There's something, as you say, it could be the scheme, but there's something not right with Josh at the moment.
I don't disagree with you. I've never really been one for the whole like, the off season stuff. Mm. Is like getting a girlfriend is what has caught his. I don't believe the fact that he has a girlfriend that's semi-famous means that he is throwing more interceptions. I've never subscribed to that school of thought. I think there's more going on that's causing what he's doing.
Yeah.
Than the fact that he's on the Madden cover. Obviously, the fact that the Madden curse is back with a vengeance is clearly the thing that caused the problem here. And I will be delighted when that's nothing to do with the Bills player next season. But
yeah,
I just don't believe it's that. For me, yeah. I think that there's fundamental issues with the way that this offense is set up. You know, the fact that Josh Allen has a Hollywood A-lister girlfriend doesn't mean that James Cook puts the ball on the ground on the first play. It doesn't mean that Gabe Davis mm-hmm. lets a pass go through his hands and it ends up in an interception. They are plays that you've got to make. Like Dalton yeah. Kincaid had a really bad drop that are drive ending. And they're not on Josh, although that the stats will show that it's an interception. They're not Josh Allen interceptions. In this game, he had one throw that was horrendously bad. The rest of it, I think, is execution on the part of himself, but also on the part of every single one of that offense. Even Stephon Diggs had a drop in this game. And that you never see that. For me, the fact that it is such a recurring theme now doesn't lead me to believe that this is Josh regressing or being distracted or whatever it may be. There's something going on behind the scenes. I think it's more linked to the personnel that were there, and whether this is he's pissed off with the calls that are being put in. He's pissed off with the team that are being gathered around him. I don't know. He doesn't like, he was a bit snappy with a few things he said about Bills Mafia a week or so ago when he was talking mm-hmm. about the crowd and saying he made some comment to there being like 40,000 offensive coordinators in Bills Mafia, which was a bit of a dig at the fans. And that's not something you've seen out of him before, not something you would expect to see. But there is clearly more going on with this team. When you've got two captains, or a captain in James Cook and Gabe Davis, who after the game refused to have interviews, there is fundamentally more going on. And I think that the only step that you logically could take off the back of this game based on those factors is the step that they took in finally seeing the light and relieving Mr. Dorsey of his job. And I'm not one that ever wishes anybody to lose their job. Nobody wants to see that. But off the back of Brian Daboll getting a head coaching gig somewhere else, Josh Allen banged the table for Ken Dorsey to get the role, who was his quarterback's coach at the time. He'd never been an offensive coordinator in the league before. And so it was a punt. And I think it hasn't worked. And it hasn't worked from the beginning. And it was, you know, we've given it a try. This isn't anyone saying that he's a bad guy. He just wasn't of the caliber of being an offensive coordinator. I think a change needed to be made. I don't personally think that Joe Brady is, for a start, I can't really deal with the fact that a person named Brady is the man who's supposed to be the savior to come in and help out the Bills. But I don't personally think that Joe Brady is good enough either to run the offense. I think that Sean McDermott, who, by the way, has to have, I don't think his seat has ever been warmer than it is right now.
Yeah.
I think he had to make a move. And I am pleased that he's done it. I don't think that Joe Brady is the long-term answer, regardless of what happens in the next seven games. I also don't think we will know who the long-term offensive coordinator is going to be until we know what happens in the off-season with Sean McDermott.
Yeah, because I think McDermott is on the firing line. I mean, he's lost his he's scapegoated the special teams coach after the 13-second game. Obviously, he scapegoated Leslie Frazier now, beginning of the season, and now, obviously, Ken Dorsey on there.
Yep.
If Brady does turn it around, does make us competitive and all that, it'll be similar to the Ravens when they won their Super Bowl back in 2003 or something like that. They made a mid-season change at offensive coordinator. They went on a run and actually won the Super Bowl. But if Brady can't do it, it's you now have to believe it falls on McDermott. And I was reading, obviously, he preaches like discipline and all that, but yet he, again, James Cook as the example, he fumbled. He did not play pretty much for the first two quarters and then came back and then pretty much
was on fire. Like
the lights on fire.
But yet
he wants people to take accountability, but yet, and I'm painful for saying this, but after, especially like on certain games, why did he not bench Josh, even if it's just to play a running game with Carl Allen? Just to say, Josh, you may be our leader, you may be the top tier quarterback, but you need to be held accountable for whatever's going wrong in that scheme. And Allen came out, I think, after that game, and actually cut a four-long figure. And you think to yourself, McDermott preaches this, preaches that, preaches the process, preaches unity and all that, but yet he's yet to take really any accountability other than, I'm the head coach, the buck stops with me. You're the head coach, but yet you're still not owning up to the fact that we haven't got an identity, we are struggling a little bit, you can't seem to choose a way to do it. Your mismanagement with play calls and decisions and all that, you've got to consider him to be, as you say, on the hot seat.
Yeah, I think he definitely is. I think that a lot of it for me also comes back to the decision that was made in light of Leslie Frazier taking a year off, that he was going to pick up the play calling duties for the defense. I do think that has distracted him a little bit. I think it's taken away his focus from the team overall because he has to. If he's running the defense, there's a lot that he has to do when the offense is on the field, which means that he can potentially like let slip what's happening in other areas of the ball. Do I think that the 12 man on the field thing happens if he's not running the plays on defense? I'm not so sure. Maybe he picks up on it. Who knows? But if anything, I think that what this season has proven is how good he is a defensive coordinator. But I think it's also shown where he's lacking as a head coach. And, you know, we're now into the bit of our season where it's that we have the third hardest schedule left in the NFL.
Yeah.
After this week's game against the Jets, Eagles by Chiefs, Cowboys, Chargers, that could easily, if the offense plays the way that they're playing at the moment, we'll lose every single one of those games. And if all of a sudden we are 5 and 10, if we get to that point, McDermott's gone. Like, for me, there's absolutely no doubt that he is gone. And then you're in full rebuild mode.
Yeah.
And at the minute, I'm not so sure that it's the worst thing in the world, because there's a lot of coaches out there that will take you a good long way to becoming a really, really good franchise and a really, really good team. And McDermott certainly seems like he can do that. What I'm yet to be convinced of, if he is the guy that can win us a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I just don't know that he is.
I mean, we talk a bit about Joe Brady. I mean, obviously Dorsey, they gave McDermott Bean, gave him the tools. I assume that he asked for these. They gave him another tight end so they could go to a two tight end. They got him speed. They got him a pass catching backs, and yet he still hasn't been able to, even though the EPA, DVOA, and all that is showing that we're one of the top five offenses in the league and all that. It just seems he can't scheme up. And against the Broncos, they had 12 of 23 in shotgun, doing 6 yards per attempt, so 6.5 yards per play. Under center, again, 3 for 3, 14 yards per play action, run 8 yards per carry, 9 yards per play.
Yeah.
And clearly, you see that, and you see what the running backs did in that game. I mean, you look at it, what was it, 9.1 yards per carry James Cook got?
Yeah, we were far more successful running the ball than we were passing the ball. And yet, other than the two drives where we looked good, everything else was, they went back to through the air with those same packages that were the same three or four plays every single time. And it was the same old shit that we've seen for the last month or so.
Even if you took that 42-yard run of Cook, he was still averaging 6.1 yards in that game. Latavius Murray was averaging over 7 yards, and yet you want to go into this high-flying, high-offense, empty sets, 1-1 personnels, and yeah, fine, it gets you points and gets you yards, but it also gets you found out and easy to defend.
And a lot of turnovers.
Yeah, in their 5 wins. They've averaged 32 points per game. Yeah. And then in losses, they're only averaging 20.2 points a game.
Yeah.
They're actually, even though you say that that everything's up, like obviously the whole stats are up, it's just how it really works and how it actually does. I mean, the first touchdown of the game, the average time it takes for them to score their first touchdown of the game is 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's an average of the season.
Which is appalling.
Yeah. And they've scored most of their first touchdowns in the second quarter or later in 6 of 10 games.
Yeah.
They've scored 24 points in just one game since week 4. And of the 16 touchdowns the team scored since week 4, Allen has 15 of them, 10 passing, 5 rushes. You can't really stream that. You can't really say, yeah, but you're putting up points. Your yardage is that good. You've just got to admit the fact that he hasn't got the identity. And with Joe Brady, you look what he's actually, okay, he had a few issues in Carolina. I think it was more of a communication stuff with Matt Rhule on there. But
yeah,
in the season he actually was his first year OC, the Panthers had four different players reach 1,000 total marks in the 2020 season. Robbie Anderson, 1,111 yards. DJ Moore, 1,215 yards. Curtis Samuel, 1,051 yards. Mark Davis, 1,015 yards. And you've got a guy, yeah, he's actually, he's living off that one season at LSU. But what you read, and I've saved a few plays on here. Was it one that Anthony from Cover One actually put in there? This is some of the stuff where he reached out to someone, Panthers, when Brady was hired by them to see what he does. He's a Sean Payton guy, so we'll have Sean Payton concepts. He will often come out in different personnels. He'll run plenty of 2-1 personnels, plenty of 1-1s, no 10 personnels. Loves ball security, good blend of early down pass and rush ratios, and good screen concepts. So we've got a guy who can play, and hopefully, even if it is just 7 games and then the end of the season, we get a brand new coach and a brand new coordinators on there. It's good to see, and maybe this is the life and actually prove that it was a scheme of Dorsey that really held this offense back, regardless of us being one of the top 5 offenses in the league this year.
I really, really, really hope it is, because Matt, if it isn't, I haven't got a clue what's wrong.
Yeah,
I feel like it has to be that. I have concerns over Brady, purely because, you know, everyone's talking about how this is the worst season, or Josh Allen has been slowly regressing in the this season. And there was also talk of it last season. Well, who's been his quarterback's coach during that time? That'll be Mr. Joe Brady. I heard some people saying that maybe Joe Brady was going to be the one who got the bullet. Because if it's Josh Allen that's playing so poorly, then the quarterback's coach is the guy. Is the guy that maybe is responsible for that. The fact that he's now running the show on offense, look, we'll see what difference he can make, if any difference, within the next 7 weeks or so. He needs to start making a difference really fucking quickly, to be able to rubber stamp, you know, the potential of him having this gig next season. Because I don't think we can just keep bumbling along with these rookies, rookie offensive coordinators for us, and who are like kind of learning on the job, pick it up and then see what happens. I don't know. We'll see. For me, it has to get better now.
And yeah.
In my head, I've still got this weird idea that we're going to turn up against the Jets and everything will be brilliant and Josh Allen will be back to normal and the offense will look really good again because we've got rid of Ken Dorsey and he was the thing that was making everything bad. In my head, that sounds great because I'm the one who's been calling for Ken Dorsey to be sacked for most of the season. He now has been. Let's bloody hope that it makes a difference, because if it doesn't, I don't know what's wrong. I don't know where you point the finger. If it doesn't get better, I still maintain Sean McDermott will be out of a job, and he will walk into a defensive coordinator position for a really good team somewhere. Probably should be the Buffalo Bills. I don't like if we continue to lose. I can't see him sticking around. I don't think Bean will go anywhere. I don't think they will completely clear.
No.
I don't think Bean will go, but I don't think that Sean McDermott will be his guy anymore.
Yeah. I think you kind of look at it and obviously some of the stats you're seeing of Allen, he's leading the league or tying the league in in touchdowns. I think he's about fourth in yards and all that. But and there's obviously completion percentage is high, but you're seeing more and more mistakes coming out from since in the last 2 years when Dorsey's been OC rather than when Dable was OC.
Yeah.
So there's something there.
Yeah, 100% there is. It must be linked to it. It's the lack of, for me, it's the schematically, it was broken. I don't think, Josh Allen hasn't become a bad quarterback overnight.
Yeah.
He's still the guy that, should have won the Super Bowl in 2021 or whatever year it was.
Mm.
Didn't.
Yeah.
I do also think that we need to, we need to move on. This team isn't that team anymore.
Yeah.
We can, if we've proven against the Broncos that we can run the ball.
Mm.
And yet we don't. And we don't do it enough. We need to evolve, and it just hasn't worked under Ken Dorsey at all.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at obviously Joe Brady's philosophy. His philosophy is force the defense to defend every blade of grass and get speed and space. Spread offense with a variety of personnel formations, vertical concepts with wrinkles like switch releases, glance routes, RPOs, running backs in the passing game, empty personnels. So obviously what it seems like he wants to do is more attack through the air. And obviously I think we're now getting to the situation where we're just going with the philosophy rather than up tempo, no huddle. We're going with the philosophy. We'll just try and score as many points as we can. Just hope our defense sort it out.
And that was that was us from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
That was sort of the way that it was.
Yeah. Now we know that obviously just this year as a team for running backs only, our running backs are actually as good as anything in the league at the moment. I mean, out of the 56 running backs with at least 40 carries, Latavius Murray is fifth in EPA per carry, seventh in total EPA, third in positive percentage play, first in first down percentage, 22nd yards per carry. Cook is 10th, 8th, 7th, 12th, and 8th in yards per carry. We've got an offense and we've got some running backs that can play. And hopefully Brady will be the one to hopefully unlock that. And if we do, then we will have a good seven weeks and we'll actually see what actually happens.
Yeah, I hope you're right. I think so long as if he can do that, he can introduce the running game on a more regular basis. And you look at what Devin Singletary and Zach Moss have done this season in their new homes. They look fantastic. And
yeah. So
it shows that they were criminally underused by both Brian Daboll and Ken Dorsey over the last couple of years. So if if we can use those running backs well, and just if we can have a little bit of variety, we can have Josh under center a little bit more. And I'm not saying he needs to be there every play, but he needs to do it more than once in a blue moon. And just a bit of a mix up in the way that we're lining up, just to make defenses think, to make us less predictable, make us less easy to defend against and scheme against. Because right now it's not difficult playing us. We're playing teams that have looked awful. Look at the Patriots, for crying out loud. They have looked awful against every single other team they've played against except for us. Because we are easy to play against.
Mm.
And if we can stop that, then we've got the weapons to match any team in the league when they're playing well. It can't get any worse from here, surely.
I think before we go into the Jets game and all that, let's talk about the positive that's actually that's actually that's come out of it. Obviously,
what, positives. What? Sorry, I didn't see any of them.
Well, obviously the run game.
Yeah, I'm being facetious, but yeah, it was the run game was good.
And then obviously the defense as well, especially now we got four. We went what, three or four games without multiple sacks and all that, and yet we had a four sack game on there. We had we obviously shown that Bernard is a key player for us, because obviously he's eight tackles, five assists, one sack. Rousseau back with a sack. Epinesa again playing out with 1.5 sacks and all that. And yeah, we've given up some plays. Johnson gave up that stupid, really ridiculous pass interference call right at the end where it was an underthrown ball. It was an underthrown ball. And if that's the way you're going to get a PI penalty, then I don't know why every single quarterback doesn't underthrow it.
Well, honestly, it's the most success. It's almost like the most successful play in the playbook at the minute. Mm. Just underthrow it. And the thing that he didn't do really was turn around and look early enough, because if he did, he could have easily just turned around and picked it off.
Yeah.
Whereas defenses are doing that against us, whereas we're not. And he kept on running and realised too late that it had been underthrown. And then all the wide out has got to do is step up a little bit. He's going to run into him, and it's PI all day long.
Mm. But there were little bits of good stuff. I mean, obviously Kincaid again showing that now he's more comfortable in this offense. Obviously, Davis obviously had his drops and was caused by that interception. But obviously, only two receptions for 56 yards. Diggs, very underutilized. And for a team, we only completed 15 passes. And yet, Diggs was not the top receiver. Even if you take out the two Gabe Davis ones, you've got Kincaid who's starting to become a bit more of a of the focal point. Maybe it's part of the plan. Maybe it is the read of Josh. But there are more positives that we can take out of this, and hopefully now one of them will be what Joe Brady can bring to this table.
Yeah, I think we need. For me, I'm at a point now whereby I think that this will end up being Gabe Davis's last season as wide receiver two for the Bills. I think if he can end up, if the season ends up going so poorly for him that he only needs to get paid sort of wide receiver three money, good for him. But for me, I think Khalil Shakir should be becoming more of that second wide out option. I think that's an area we need to address in free agency or draft. But I think it's time to move on from Gabe Davis as our wide receiver too. Because we are not, like, you look at all the other teams that are around us, the options that they have are significantly better at wide receiver two than we are. Mm. You know, Eagles much better, Dolphins obviously much better, Chiefs arguably not. But they've got the beast in Travis Kelce. So
when he's not in Argentina kissing his girlfriend.
What? Yeah. And we talk about whether off the field activities are having an impact on Josh. Doesn't seem to have impacted Travis Kelce too much. He's doing okay. But a lot of those teams just have better options at wide receiver too, and I think it's time to like say thanks very much to Gabe Davis, but you're never gonna get to the heights that we thought you might get to after that Kansas City, the 5-touchdown Kansas City game. So that's an area for me that we need to have a look at. Dalton Kincaid becoming more of a focal point of the offense is brilliant, because I think that he is someone that can really be a difference maker for us, both in the red zone and in short yardage situations, moving the chains. He's going to make rookie mistakes like he has done in the last couple of games with the fumble and the drops that we've had. But he looks as solid as anybody to me. Run game's looking good. Stefon Diggs is still looking good. Offensive line is still all there. We're one of only three teams in the whole league, I think, that is still playing the same offensive line that started the season. And, you know, they're making some mistakes, but they're doing okay. Defensively, we're staying in games. Rousseau looks great. AJ Epinesa looks great. Von Miller, I think, is still... there's a big question mark for me over what he's bringing to the table for the money that he's costing us at the minute.
I
totally agree on Terrell Bernard. He, like, out of the entire shit show that this first half of the season has been, we found our middle linebacker, which is pretty amazing considering that was... We spent the, like, how many hours did we spend talking about what we're going to do at middle linebacker in the draft, and we had him the whole time.
That's
great news. I personally don't think I think there'll be major changes in the secondary next season, and this could be the end of both of Hyde, Poyer, and potentially Trey White. So I think there'll be a huge amount of change in the secondary next season. But that's an area I think that you can address relatively easily. If Josh plays well and our wide receivers can get open, I think we're still a really good side. There's all the parts are there. We're just lacking that little bit of execution. And I think for me that the man that is ultimately responsible for all of that has now been relieved of his duties. So, fingers crossed. As Yaz would say, the only way is up.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So let's move on to the Jets then. Obviously, it's rematch from week one. Jets have been hit and miss. They've had some good. They've hit some good form. They've had some good games, but they've also had some shit games. And obviously, Zach Wilson, he seems to play, but then he also doesn't seem to play. So you don't know exactly what he's going to have. What you're not going to see what Zach Wilson you're going to have this year. In any game.
Yeah, they're touchdownly challenged, aren't they, a little bit? And I think the thing that concerns me the most about this game is the fact that we're talking about how we need the offense to step up. Well, we're coming up against one of the best three defenses in the league in the Jets. They are legitimately for real and just exceptional. The problem with the Jets is that they are being asked to win the game completely on their own, and they need to be perfect in order for them to stand any chance, because the offense is horrendous. They were horrendous against the Raiders, horrendous against the Chargers, horrendous against the Giants, but somehow had that ridiculous end to the game that meant that they won it in overtime when they were playing against the Giants team that didn't have a quarterback that was allowed to throw the ball. I think that Zach Wilson went through a little period where they beat the Eagles, they beat the Broncos, lost only by three to the Chiefs. They had like a little three-game spell where he didn't look awful. But outside of that, he's been awful. Because he's awful. He is, you know, he's just a terrible, terrible
quarterback. Be careful. He may be awful, but he did beat us in week one, apparently.
Well, mate, I think we are the only team that Zach Wilson has beaten twice in his NFL career. And yes, he did. And again, that was...
More defense than offense, than offensive side.
It was offense in that game. Like, that was, I remember after that game where we lost, was it 22-16? And that was like, that was a really, really poor Josh Allen performance. And I remember coming away from that thinking all Josh Allen has to do is not play ridiculous and turn the ball over and we win the game comfortably. And I think that that is probably, you know, we'd be in total agreement. I mean, we should we should win the game. Of course we should.
Yeah.
Like we're at home against a team that has no offense, has a quarterback that isn't good enough. We should win the game comfortably. But I mean, Christ, who knows at the minute, man?
I think there's an element now of this game of seeing what we can actually cook up now. I mean, there are keys to this offense or to this game actually that'll help us win. I mean, yeah, the Jets have got probably one of the stingiest defenses in the league, but I want to say we've got an X factor now in Joe Brady, because obviously, yeah, people have what he's done at the Panthers on tape, but then he spent 2 years away from the game actually trying to learn the craft some more. So we've got a guy who's only got one and a bit years worth of data on there. And if we can, and to get back on track, we just need the communication side to be a lot better. But whether it be between coach and player, I mean, I think they're using Mike Shula as the quarterback's coach as well as the offensive quality. And when you've got someone like Mike Shula in there, he's going to help Josh quite a bit. And obviously, Joe Brady as well, being the quarterback coach for two years now, obviously knows hopefully and seen Josh's strengths and weaknesses. And if he can do what he sets out, gives more concepts, get the screen game going, try and focus more on running as well rather than just passing, and then working underneath game, if we can offer those as our keys, then I can see the Jets having to struggle, because the only reason, and I've started watching Jets games, especially when they play the Bills, Sauce Gardner will only stay on one side of the field. Yes, they have their other cornerback. Who's the other cornerback they have? Names.
It's oh God.
Yeah.
It's God. What? I try and pay as little attention to the Jets as I possibly can. The more I think about them, then the stupider I get. But it's DJ Reed.
Yeah. So you see both those guys, they'll only cover their half of the field. So they're always on the perimeter on their side of the field. So maybe this is a chance to actually mix it up a bit. Maybe bring in, have Shakir and Diggs in the slot and have Kincaid and Davis on the outside. Then you've got, unless Gardner and Reed go in to take Diggs, you've got Diggs with a linebacker or their nickel, and could hurt them. I think the X factor's there, and those are the keys really to get their personnel and to move, especially Diggs around and even Kincaid. Because I think those two are now becoming your 1A, 1B of this offense, and if Josh can get the time to actually do his reads, then we are in a good position. I think those really are the main keys, and obviously this offensive line keeping Josh healthy. We know they can do it, because they haven't given up that many sacks and pressures and all that. Can they do it one more time against obviously Quincy Williams, against CJ Mosley, Quinn and Williams, and Jefferson?
Yeah, it's a hell of a defensive front. I don't think our offensive line has done a terrible job this year. As concerned as I was about it, I don't think they've been awful. We'll see how they hold up. That we should offensively, we should have more than enough.
the one key, the one key game plan then for the Bills offense, do not throw to number three.
I mean, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. wherever he is, keep away from him. Yep.
Exactly.
And he will be one of those that gets away with DPI and defensive holding more than pretty much any cornerback I've seen in the league.
Well, Jordan Whitehead, the safety, so.
Yeah.
I think that is a key. I mean, we know this defense, we switched the sides. I mean, the Jets on with that offensive line, they've still hit and miss all the time. They've given up. I mean, let me just change positions. Just give me everything. Their tackles are given up. Well, they're given up altogether 25 sacks. You've got Vera Tucker, who was set to be a really good tackle guard. Micaiah Becton, who everyone said was the next big thing coming out of it. And you don't really see that much in that offensive line that actually scares you. Now we've got a good performance against an offensive line last week in the Broncos, who, like the Bills, have gone the complete season with the same five. You've got a fancy that even without Milano and without Trey White, we've got Rasul Douglas, who's come in and played two good games, even though the first one he literally was here for a couple of days. But when we've got this offense of this defensive line, Ed Oliver having a really good game last week and this season actually. You've got to look at that as your key. Just make sure we just don't all blitz when they're out to the field goal range.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't talk about that one, did we? That was just one play too far.
But with Ed Oliver, amongst DTs through the first 10 weeks, the pressure leaders, who do you think's top?
On the Bills?
No, in the league.
Oh, okay.
This is on pressures from the defensive tackle position.
That's a great question. Aaron Donald?
No.
Chris Jones? It's
Ed Oliver.
Is it really?
No, it's Ed Oliver. Yeah, with 41 pressures, and he actually leads it in pressure rates as well, 16.8% pressure rate on the minimum of 150 pass rushes.
Wow.
Second. Okay. In that list is Javon Hargrave with 39 pressures.
Okay.
Third is Quinnen Williams with 38 pressures. Fourth is DeForest Buckner. Well, tied fourth is DeForest Buckner and Dexter Lawrence with 37 each. So
I mean, that's decent company for Ed Oliver right there.
Yeah. And obviously, I think now we've got Linville Joseph in, and obviously Tim Settle's had a few decent weeks. On there, I think this defensive line starting to get back, and that's, I think, the way we can win it. We just got to get that pressure from that front four, and obviously make sure that Bernard has a free run to the quarterback, and just get decent field position. That's all we need to do.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
Honestly, I keep I keep telling myself, oh, this is going to be the game. This is going to be the one where it all comes back. And we're like, oh, actually, look, they are pretty good. It hasn't happened yet. But maybe this is the one.
So let's have it. Let's hear your two players to watch.
So on offense, I'm going to go with James Cook. Okay. I feel like this... After a bit of a, like, he obviously had his issues on the first play and then was made to sit his ass down, which I didn't necessarily agree with the way that the whole thing was handled. with him being benched and yet other players like Gabe Davis not being. That didn't sit too well with me, but he came out running with a chip on his shoulder after that. And I would like to see him carry that on. He's never had an issue with fumbling before, and hopefully it won't start now. But I think that this is an opportunity. It's a clean slate, new offensive coordinator in. I'd like to think he's going to lean more heavy on the run game than Ken Dorsey did. We've proven that we can run the ball effectively with James Cook. He is having a good season. And I think that it could be a really good breakout game for him. I'm convinced that he's going to look pretty decent, and we'll see. Hopefully that he continues that form from this game into the next one.
Yeah, and defense.
This is a tricky one. I think I will go with Taron Johnson.
Okay.
Taron Johnson has been an important player for the Bills, and has, I think, on the whole, has looked really good as nickel corner. He's been important, but he is getting picked on in important moments, and there are things that he's doing that are, you know, either costing us or nearly costing us games. There's an awful lot of the significant plays that we've given up in the last couple of games have been either him like not in coverage or penalties that he's giving away. The Giants game was another one where he was the man picked on and should have been defensive pass interference and wasn't. I think that he needs a bit of a kick up his ass, so I'm saying that he has a bounce back game in this one.
Okay,
and an interception of Zach Wilson.
Okay, that's a hot take on that. I was gonna go with Kincaid. Just seen this as a stat on Kincaid that since week 7. He's actually, this is his ranking. This is Next Gen Stats and their rankings. Since amongst all tight ends since week 7, he was second in receptions with 27th, fourth in receiving yards with 259, first in catch rate percentage with 87.1, receptions over expected 2.8, that's third, and receptions over yards over expected plus 63, only behind George Kittle, and that's since week 7.
Yeah.
But my player to watch is actually Josh Allen.
Yeah. Well, I had him last week and he didn't come and deliver for me. So let's hope he can for you.
Yeah. So it's actually I'm gonna say Josh Allen just because it's a new system. Hopefully Brady will actually make it more simpler. He'll be able to play a bit more and actually have a game designed to him.
Yeah.
To actually to give it up, and as long as he doesn't throw it to number 3, we're fine.
Yep, fact. Keep it as far away from Mr. Whitehead as you possibly can.
And on defense, I'm going with Rasul Douglas.
Nice. He was my second choice.
Because, say, he's come in, he made some good plays against the Broncos. Say, he's now had 2 weeks in this in the system. He is a quality cornerback. And with Benford hopefully back this week, we've got those two as your top two. I think that will see us through the season. I think Douglas can make that play to be a 1B or 1A guy alongside Benford. So those two are my offense and defensive player.
Yeah, no, I think they're good shouts. Christian Benford's an interesting one for me because I feel like at the moment he's struggling to get through an entire game healthy.
Mm.
And he gets back fit during the week but then doesn't last the game. And it's often like, I think was it Josh Norman that finished the game for us against the Broncos?
Yeah.
He was in there having some plays, and Christ alive, if we've got to that point, then
yeah,
we probably needed to trade for two quarterbacks if we're ending up with Josh Norman. I agree. When we've got those top three of Razzle Douglas, Christian Benford, and Dane Jackson, I think we're okay. Razzle Douglas has been a good acquisition. I'm pleased that we've got him in.
Mm.
There's a lot of work to do, but he looks solid.
Yeah, you're going to make a prediction for the game.
No, this is going to sound stupid.
Right. Go on.
This is going to sound stupid, but I think I'm going to say 34-13.
What, Jets?
Yeah. I'm saying that this is the game. You know, you get like that new manager bounce.
Yeah.
I'm saying that we're getting a new offensive coordinator bounce. Mm. Josh Allen gets out of his own way a little bit. We cut out some of the really stupid mistakes. It's not flawless by any stretch of the imagination, but we are more than good enough to stop Zach Wilson, and we make a few less mistakes to get us over the line.
Yeah.
It ends up being relatively comfortable. And when all Bills fans come away from it thinking, why the F couldn't we do that in any of these games against the Patriots, the Broncos, etc.
Yeah.
Because we should be where our record should be far, far better than it is now. And we're going to have that game where we go, oh.
Yeah. I
mean, finally, that we look all right, but also, oh, why, where was this team in the last month?
No, exactly.
That's my prediction. And then we start to get into the run of games where we're like, oh, I don't know. But
yeah,
it's going to be a get right game.
Yeah. I think with me, I'm tempering it a bit. I think it's going to be close.
Come on, son.
I'm going 27. I'm going to go 30 points. But I just think the Jets, even with Zach Wilson, I think there's still some flaws which the Broncos have actually exploited. And also the way McDermott sometimes is too over aggressive or not over aggressive and plays soft, that will let the Jets, who do have obviously Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, a couple of decent offensive players.
Yeah.
Could actually look to exploit. So I'm going to go for 30-20. I'm going to go for a Garmy score, 30-21.
Okay. Yeah, cool.
So luckily now we get a 9:25 game. So No late nights and early mornings.
Hooray. Finally, we're not on prime time. Prime time, it just hasn't been for us this year.
No.
It's not been good for us. It'll be nice to have a reasonable time slot. It'll be nice for all the guys up at the Fitzrovia Bell or wherever to get back to the pub as well, because it's the first time that they've been able to have a game for a little while. Mm. It'll be nice to not have to drag your ass up in the middle of the night to watch us be fucking dreadful again. It's going to be, this game is going to be the one where we're back to being the Bills that we know.
Yeah. So I hope everyone enjoys it. I hope everyone actually continues to subscribe and listen to the podcast, follow us on all the socials, our own individuals and the UK Bills socials. And for Mark, I'm Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening. And let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Yeah, no, no, no. You don't know anything about Mark. You don't know anything about work? No. Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.